Well, we've been reporting for several years now on the conflict that Mexico created when their former president said he would ban genetically modified corn imports from the U.S. A dispute panel on Friday ruled that Mexico had violated its commitments under the United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement, or USMCA, when it issued those decrees nearly 4 years ago. That's when the first decree was issued. Joining us here today on Hoosier Ag Today is Ted McKinney. Not only is he a native of Tifton County, Indiana, he's also CEO of the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture, or NASDA for short. My first question, Ted, what are your thoughts on the dispute panel's decision on Friday?
Well, in one word, elated. The significance of this decision is untold in its value, because it first reinforced that perhaps the finest trade agreement in the world, and I do believe USMCA is the finest in the world, can stand pressures, can stand its tests, and that good science and common sense, frankly, can prevail. And that's what's happened here. And so people should not just ho-hum this. This is a decision of epic proportion, not just for the U.S. and Mexico, but for the world.
Ted, does Mexico have an appeals process that they can follow at this juncture going forward?
Well, we understand that there is that, but we have not heard from our friends at the U.S. Trade Rep's office what, if any, penalties might be able or might be available to the U.S. should Mexico choose not to abide. So there's a lot of unknown in that. But you have to make sure the decision was made uniformly, unanimously, across all 7 points of the complaint, and they were. They ruled in the U.S. favor. And remember, Canada weighed in support of the U.S. claims. So it was really both Canada and Mexico, or Canada and the U.S., making this. So we don't know about penalties or the appellate process. But I think I'll take step one and then deal with step two here in coming months. I think it's very important that we recognize that the U.S. Trade Rep's office, Doug McCaleb, Ambassador Tai, and the whole team really stayed with this. There was at least a question on how committed they would be, and they sure proved themselves in doing that. And I think equally so in the pending Trump administration, the fact that there's quite a force there, you know, fair trade, not free trade, but fair trade is very much a theme that he and some of his nominees are absolutely promoting, suggests that there will be quite a price to pay if there's not compliance with all aspects of the complaint.
Ted, I know that you've said the one word you've used is elated. I know that no doubt a lot of other folks, not just within the ag industry, but I've spoken personally with Senator Todd Young. No doubt he's also elated over the decision from the USMCA panel. If the dispute panel had ruled in Mexico's favor, we're talking a huge detriment to the ag economy here in the U.S.
Yes, that's correct. Right now, the penalty, the punishment, the negativity toward U.S. markets has really focused primarily on white corn. You know, there's been and was then the immediate denial of use of white corn for shipment to Mexico, at least biotech white corn for shipment to Mexico. The reason being, white corn goes into tortillas and other food grade items. Well, my goodness, if there had been a decision in the opposite manner, it would undermine the entire trust of biotechnology as one of the most valuable tools in the history of agriculture, I believe. That's why I say elated, and that's why I say this decision is of epic proportion, and positively so, I might add.
Ted, in terms of this decision going forward, I know that Claudia Sheinbaum, she's the current president. She succeeded President AMLO. Sheinbaum, the current president, she herself coming from a scientific and engineering background, Do you wholeheartedly agree that she will uphold this ruling and see the science and the value of the decision of the panel?
Well, I think the right answer is it's yet to be determined. You are correct in your assessment. She is a PhD scientist, and one would hope, repeat hope, that that background and that knowledge of science would prevail. But let's remember, she is the protege of President AMLO, his acronym. And there was an amendment to the Constitution that could be used to take a cut at the decisions that have been made, the appellate court's decision. So sometimes, believe it or not, politics will oversee or overshadow good, accurate, proven science. And I think that is what we remain to see. That's why I think there's such optimism that the strength of both the current administration and the pending administration will, I hope, prevail and make sure that penalties are seen and are visible if there is noncompliance. But let's remain hopeful. I'm a glass half full kind of guy. I hope that they will look and say, let's just discard this, let's comply with it and get on with other business, because as I think you've been reading, there is a lot more at stake here in the relationship between Mexico and the U.S. for Ms. Sheinbaum to think and worry much about this. I hope they'll just simply comply and get on down the road.
My guest is Ted McKinney, CEO of the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture. Ted, I wanted to pivot and ask you about a couple of President-elect Trump's nominations to lead USDA. First, he has nominated Brooke Rollins to serve as the next Ag Secretary. And then here on Monday, it was announced that President-elect Trump has nominated Stephen Vaden. He's a judge on the Court of International Trade. He had also served as general counsel for USDA during President Trump's first administration. And he's been nominated to be the deputy secretary of USDA. Ted, you served as USDA undersecretary for trade and foreign ag affairs during Trump's first administration with Judge Vaden. What are your thoughts on both Brooke Rollins and Stephen Vaden being nominated for their respective positions with USDA?
Well, in summary, I think they're both great picks. Starting with Brooke Rollins, I think perhaps the most important thing we in agriculture should look at, and clearly that the president looked at, was to get someone that he trusts completely, that has his ear, and for us in ag, that the vice versa is true, that he has her trust and so forth. And I think that is clearly the case. I mean, her role most recently in the last Trump administration as chair of the Domestic Policy Council, well, that is no slouch position. Let me just tell you, that is an important, important role, mostly oftentimes with daily interface with the then President Trump. So Brooke is great, and she's got some ag chops. Most people may not have heard her much. She's not been in the ag industry solely for her career, but goodness, anybody who starts with a really robust 4-H and FFA experience, as she did, has got my attention. She was a state FFA officer. And remember, Texas is, I can't remember, but it's number one or two largest association of FFA in the U.S. So there's competition for those roles. And then with student body president at Texas A&M, her degree is in ag development. And then through her time going through law school, leading a not-for-profit, then at the White House, she dealt with ag issues, just not as publicly as perhaps you and I would see, not on the headlines every day. So the fact that she's got those ag chops and has the trust of the president and vice versa is great by me. Moving to Stephen Vaden, I know Stephen well, and he's a good pick. He was the general counsel at USDA, a position that doesn't always get a lot of notoriety. But the man is a smart cookie. Let me tell you, he knows the law. That was affirmed when he was selected to be the judge of the International Trade Court. And so knows the trade area now pretty thoroughly, at least from a judicial standpoint. He comes from a farm in Tennessee, I believe, Vanderbilt grad. So I think he has a very good and broad perspective that is going to support Brooke Rollins very well. And then we'll just have to see how they continue to surround themselves with undersecretaries and administrators. But I'm very pleased with these two choices, and I think they'll serve agriculture not only well, but very well.
Once again, Ted McKinney, CEO of the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture. And Ted, thank you so much for sharing your time with us here today on Hoosier Ag Today. I appreciate it.
Thanks, CJ. You too.